Let me encourage you that we are very close to the rapture. How many believe in the rapture? If you don't, you're in trouble. That's the only way to get to heaven. Here, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus himself was raptured in the book of Acts. Do you understand that? When he ascended, he was raptured. There's no other way to get to heaven. You can't go down here to York, take a bus, take a train, take a plane. The only way to get to heaven is to be raptured. So if you don't believe in the rapture, okay, God says, let it be according to your faith. When the rapture happens, I'll be back in 7 years for you. All right? So we're so close to it right now. My desire, the urgency that I have in the very depth of my spiritual being right now, and especially looking at Israel. How many know, watch Israel? Can I get an amen? Come on. I want to know you're hearing me today. This is important. Keep your eyes on Israel, especially what happened right now with this last move with the UN. Thank God for President-elect Donald Trump. Come on, amen. Thank God. I was on the Trump campaign headquarters. Matter of fact, ABC News from New York was just here Friday night. We had a party at Trump headquarters. They interviewed me as a pastor, my role in the Trump campaign here, and they're going to air that on inauguration night. Hopefully, Doris and I will be down in Washington for that. We're waiting for our tickets. They're hard to get a hold of like that. But I truly believe that God has his hand on this man. He brought along Governor Mike Pence, a godly influence on him at this point. And no matter who our leaders are, especially our president, how many know we need to be praying according to the Word of God? We need to pray for all of our leaders, whether we agree with them or not. Can I get an amen? You need to pray for your pastor, whether you agree with your pastor or not. You need to be praying for those that are in authority that have any type of oversight in your life, and especially in this nation. And thank God, can I get an amen for Franklin Graham? Amen. Amen. Come on. Yes, come on. Thank you. How many understand that God doesn't do anything? He doesn't move until he calls his people to pray. All right, you men better be here on Saturday morning to pray. Okay, the men are supposed to take the lead in the body of Christ. And all the men said amen. That's pretty weak. Come on. Say, can I get an amen like a man? Amen. Come on, man. Come on, amen. Come on, brother. Come on, look at me. Amen. Oh, man. Come on. We got to get moving here in the body of Christ right now because time is short. Souls are hanging on the very edge right now. There's only two places to go. You're either going to spend eternity with God or you're going to spend eternity in hell. And it's up to us as believers to share the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with other people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And time is short. It's very short right now. What's happening over there in Israel says that it's short. That's why I said you keep your eyes on Israel right now. But for each one of us individually and corporately right now, I believe about 3 years ago that I sensed the Spirit of God speaking to me that he was right now giving the church. Who is the church? You and I. We are the church. This is a building. But we are the church. That he was giving a church a last call. A last call before he comes back. What I mean by that is that God, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. For the last few years, God has been speaking to each and every one of you, and you know it. He's been dealing with you about sin and areas in your life that isn't pure and holy, and you need to leave, repent of, and get right with God. He spoke that to me 3 years ago, that he was beginning to do that with his church, individuals. And you know that to be true. Everybody say amen. And he's doing that for a reason, because I believe he's raising up his remnant right now. How many know that God always has a remnant? He always has a remnant. A remnant is a small particle, so to speak. A small particle. God always raises up and has a remnant of people. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't go to heaven, but if you want to be used of God in these last days, you need to be part of that remnant. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? So many people, oh, I'd love to be a millionaire, a billionaire, okay, like a Donald Trump, $10 billion he has. You know what his salary is going to be? $1. The guy, Secretary of State Thomason, he makes $23 million a year. He's taking a job as Secretary of State for $200,000. They're not in it for the money. Let me tell you something. We're not in ministry for the money. Can I get an amen, Pastor? It's not. Please trust me. Amen. Right? No, it's not. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. It's about what's true, what's right. What is God saying to us individually? What He's saying to the church right now? Because all of a sudden, life is over. A fire happens. Christmas Eve. Thank God, no one got hurt. Right? Everything's fine. And watch. Where is she at this morning? Hey, in church. Come on, can I get an amen for our sister here? Amen. She's in church where she needs to be when things happen. And you never know what's going to happen when your time is up. You could go just like that. There's accidents happening left and right. I know three people with relatives in my congregation, okay, that lost people on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. On those days, and one celebrated was a year ago on Christmas Eve that his wife took a fall and passed away on Christmas Eve. And you just never know. It's been 10 years now since Jack went home. And let me tell you why I believe some people go home, why Jack went home early. He's using Jack preparation for receiving us. I tell you what, you wonder why some people make it and some people don't. And I asked the Lord about that. He says they're in preparation. How many know we're in preparation too down here? And this could be the year, church. This could be the year. Get your eyes off the stock market. Who cares if it hits 20,000? You go down to 5,000 the next day. Get your eyes off the world, the money markets and things like that. Smith Wigglesworth said, live for today as if Jesus was coming back tonight. All right, but plan for tomorrow in case He should tarry. Are you living as if Jesus is coming back tonight? Don't answer that because I don't want a lying spirit to come out of you. Think about what I'm saying, because there's days that I don't live like that either. Remember Joan Rivers? Can we talk? You remember Joan Rivers? Can we talk? Can we get real with one another? Well, it's time to get real. It's January 1st, 2017, and God is in the blessing business. How many believe that? God wants to bless His church. We are coming into the season where He's going to turn over the wealth of the sinner to the just. Oh, hello, come on, can I... No, nobody wants to be blessed, right? Come on, how many want to be blessed? All right, but listen, you need to position yourself. You need to position yourself, and you start by positioning your heart. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3 reads like let's start with verse 5. It reads like Apostle Paul's resume, and understand, okay, why he wrote the book of Philippians, okay? He was really expressing his appreciation and affection for the Philippian believers. He wasn't writing to correct a lot of things at this point, but they were one of the only churches that really supported Apostle Paul at that time. So he wasn't really writing this letter to correct a lot of issues, and he wrote this from a prison cell. Think about this man who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, who was beaten, mocked several times, took stripes several times on his back, in prison, shipwrecked twice, overboard, in the ocean, on islands, everything. Think about what he went through for the gospel. Now, let me read you his resume, starting in verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, pure-blooded Jew. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count at loss for Christ. So if any of you think you're all this and you're all that, let me tell you something. Without Christ, you're nothing but a piece of dirt. You're nothing but dung. I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that. Some of you need to dwell on that. Get that revelation. God created man out of dirt. Without God in our lives, we are nothing but dirt. Doesn't matter how much money you got, how much fame you got, how well known you are, what reputation you have, or anything else. Listen to what Apostle Paul, he was the Jew of Jews. He was next in line to be the head Pharisee. He says, watch this. I counted it loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He counted it all but loss. I just want to know Him. Church, we've lost the art as believers about knowing Christ. Why do you think we read the Bible? It's not to figure this out or figure that out. It's to know Him. It's to know Him. To have a one-on-one with the Lord. You can have a one-on-one confrontation with the Lord anytime you want it. All you have to do is do this. Ready? There. He is the Word. He is the Word. He wants you to know that He misses you. He misses you. He misses the times that he used to spend with you. The secret place. Your prayer closet, wherever it be, if it's a chair in the living room, the bedroom, if it's in your car on the way to work, when you used to every day get up and have that daily discipline. Well, there was a time you would never miss a Sunday. But now people, the mindset, you know why they're missing Sundays? They're not committed. They're not tithing off. Make a recommitment today. Recommitment today. Say, you know what? I'm going to have perfect attendance this year. If she can do it after what she went through, my goodness, church. And you're tithing. You want to be blessed. Let me tell you something. You can't rob God. It says in Malachi, you can't rob God and not be obedient in your tithes and offering and expect the blessings of God. That's schizophrenia. Hello? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? Hello? Wake up, church. I'm a good example of what God can do. You can get my book in the back, what God has done for me. Most of you know my background. For those that don't, I spent 11 years in prison, 20 years in drug addiction. I have an 8-page rap sheet, 37 convictions, 20 felonies. But I've stood before presidents and men and several governors and representatives and congressmen and everything else, with riding around with Secret Service agents when Pence was here. And God has just given me favor, 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 right up to the heads of state and governors and everything else. But it's got nothing to do with my background, or I wouldn't be anywhere near them. I wouldn't have lunch with Joyce and Dave Myers if she really knew my background before we had lunch. Hello? And I was like, who? Nice pastor and all, but who? Look where he came from. Thank God that is in the past. Can I get an amen? Once you come to Christ, you don't have any past. All you have is a future. And Paul is saying here, I count all things but loss, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Dung, we all know what that is. We don't need to go there, right? And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law. Now remember that, righteousness of the law, because I'm going to come back to that. But that which is through the faith of Christ, in other words, what he did at Calvary, our righteousness is because of what he did at Calvary. When the Bible says in Hebrews, we can come boldly into the throne room of grace, like I opened up with prayer, not on any of our merits, but on what he did at Calvary. He gives us that access into boldly into the throne room of grace, and it's his righteousness. But the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Again, that I may know him. Do you really know your Lord? Do you know your Jesus? Are you on a first name basis with him? You should be. Look, I get up in the morning. When I swing my leg off the bed, I'm talking to God, sometimes laying there. It depends on how quick I wake up and if the dog bites me or not. And there's like some important things when I wake up in the morning that I have to do. Not necessarily in this order. Go to the bathroom myself, take the dog out to the bathroom, hit the button for the coffee pot, and talk to God. And God is right in there. Sometimes when I'm walking to the bathroom or walking to hit the coffee button or running to take the dog out, I'm talking to God. I don't even want to take a breath. I don't want to take any steps until I'm talking to God, plugging into him. Because it could be your last step. In this day and age, you could be walking down a hallway in your house, turn around, and be an intruder in there. You just don't know. You need to know that you're in the protection of the Lord at all times. And talk to him. But you can't have that if you really don't know them. You really don't know them. You got to know him for yourself, church. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now watch what he says. He says this again. He repeats, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived. We just read his resume. He was all this and all that. But when he came to Christ, all that is gone. Some people come to Christ and they carry that over with them. They think they're all this and they're all that. And they want to carry that over into them. And you know what? That stinks in the nostrils of God. And then what happens is God has to humble you. If you don't humble yourself and you don't understand who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you, you're going to go through some difficult times. God's going to be humbling you. He says, not that I myself have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing I do. Forget which is behind. Now, let me tell you something. You're not supposed to not learn from things. Can I get an amen? Okay, I was stupid for 33 years. And you know what it got me? 20 years of an addiction, 11 years in prison, okay? The loss of my mother and father while I was incarcerated. Both died while I was incarcerated. Loss of all the friends that I grew up with. There's none of them left. They all died now. They're all gone. Each and every one of them. I was stupid. He said, there's one thing I do. Forget which is behind, but you don't forget that you don't learn from it. You let it go that it doesn't hold you back and you don't dwell on it. He says, there's one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it didn't say look behind. It says press forward. You can't press forward if you're looking behind. Some of you have to understand something. The rear view mirror is very small. The front windshield is big and wide. Quit. Get out of your rear view mirror. Get out of your rear view mirror and start looking ahead. You can't press forward, okay, if you're living in the past and you got your mind, your foot, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, and you're still holding all of that. How can God bless you in what he has for you now and in the future if you don't let go of that? See, how you deal with your past determines your future. Do you hear what I'm saying? How you deal with your past determines your future. You have to understand your future is in him. It's not in anything else. And he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. You know what that mark, you know what that prize is? It's Christ-likeness. You know, my wife's not here today. She's been sick for 3 weeks dealing with stuff, everything else. Just gotten over it. And so, I go to bed early Saturday nights because of Sunday mornings. And she wanted to stay up. And I said, no. She said, well, stay up and welcome in the new year with me. I said, give me a kiss now. I'll see you next year. I'm going to bed. That's all right. But you know what? When she met me, and she'll tell you this, she married me for one reason only. One reason only. She saw Jesus in me. Because you have to understand, I just got released from incarceration after a decade. I wasn't making any money, so to speak. All right, I didn't have nothing to offer in the physical sense. I was already gone bald, and now I have the new wave look. It's waving goodbye. That's okay. the runway started early, but she said, "I saw Jesus in you, and I wanted a man of God. That's what I wanted for me in my life." And that's what the mark and the prize is. And that high calling, it only comes from God. The high calling of being Christ-like. It's the, if to be a president-elect Trump, okay, to be president of the United States is a step down from being a Christian. It's getting quiet now in this church here in New York. You understand what I mean? It's a high calling to be a saint of God. Do you understand? You might not think that, but understand who you are and the price that was paid for you to name the name of Christ, to be a son and daughter of the Most High. We don't recognize and realize how blessed we are and who we are. Not in a high and mighty way, but in a low and humble way, knowing that your Father, okay, is the creator of all things. Your big brother is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. There's nothing that God can't do for you. He can move mountains for you. And he will move mountains for you. And this is what Paul is saying to us here. And here we are in 2017. And God is saying, are you going to forget these things which are behind? 2016, you went through this. You had some good things. You had a lot of bad things. But you know what? You can't change your past. But you can change your future. You can change your future. Now, I'm not a believer in the New Year's resolution, things like that. If you need to change something, you need to change it, whether it's July, August, June, or whatever. It's God speaking to you. You need to change it when God's speaking to you. You don't wait. You don't wait. If God's saying something, you need to be obedient. Amen? Go with me to, let's go to Galatians. Go back to Galatians 5 for a minute, chapter 5. Understand that Apostle Paul's writings, 90% of his writings was towards sanctification. Think about that. 90%. Now, in order to press forward, you have to be what they call in the spirit, walking in obedience to God as much as lie within you and moving forward. How many understand that in Christianity, I truly believe this, you're either moving forward or you're backsliding. There's no standing still. Now watch this. If you're moving forward and growing in God, you're okay. You move forward, growing in God. But if you're going back, where are you going back to? What you're doing is you're going back into bondage to the law. When you came to Christ, okay, you're not under law anymore. The law was fulfilled. All right? The law was fulfilled. He came. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled the law, okay, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and you were delivered from the bondages of the law. So you don't, listen, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. They're all spiritual disciplines you need to do. But you don't have to, because if you have to do it, then you're placing yourself under law and you're taking yourself from underneath God's grace. And so if you begin to go backwards, what you do is you place yourself back under law, and then you're operating, watch this, you're operating back under the flesh. You're back underneath operating on the flesh and yourself back in bondage. And you know what the definition of flesh is? Let me tell you what the definition, doing it in your own strength and ability. And the flesh is anything that is not submitted to God. Let me say that again. Operating in the flesh is anything that is not submitted to God. When you're submitted to God, when it talks about, is it Galatians 5? Is that the one where? 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Think about that for a minute. Anything of the flesh is unsubmitted to God. And if it's unsubmitted to God, you're in trouble. Now, the good thing about it is God gives us a lot of grace. Yeah, He gives us a lot of grace. Look, I know my faults. I know my flesh areas. I know where God is working on me and be transformed more and more into the image of Christ and what He's saying to me in my life, how I treat my wife, how I treat other people, how I'm good with stewards and honoring God and things and not cheating anybody or things like that or whatever and, you know, doing that in my heart right with God and things like that. But if there's one area that is unsubmitted to God, how many know that's the area the enemy will come at you? He waits for that area. He waits for that area so that he can slip in that area right there and trip you up. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desire of the flesh. Well, what's it mean to be walking in the Spirit? Walking in obedience to God's Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know you can't do anything in God without help of the Holy Spirit? You can't do it. That's why I said 5 minutes ago that operating in His flesh means operating in your ability. In your strength, and you try to do it in your own. Paul himself shared that with us in Romans 7:15-25, where he says, why do I keep doing these things that I do that I don't want to do? I don't want to do them, but yet I keep doing them. Why do I keep doing these things? Have you ever been there? You just keep doing, making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again. And it's like you beat your head against the wall and then you beat yourself up. You throw yourself into guilt and condemnation. And you wonder, why do I keep doing this? Because you're operating in the flesh. You don't understand the sin nature and the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't understand you're dead to the flesh. You're dead to the sin nature. You've never really grasped the reality of that, the revelation of that, and understand that. So you get caught up in a circle over and over again. And you blow it over and over again. And then you beat yourself up. And you beat yourself up. And then what happens is when you beat yourself up and you fall into sin, instead of running to church, you stop going to church. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't want anybody to know. You think you're the only one going through it. No, we all go through it. We all have our issues. Can I get an amen? We all have our problems. God's not looking for a perfect Christian, as people think perfect, because there is no perfect Christian, to the point, except that word perfect, teleos, means mature. He's looking for mature Christian. But there was only one perfect man on this earth. That man was Christ Jesus. And we have to understand that God's not looking for perfection. 1 Samuel 16:7 said, man looks on outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. You know, when I was in Gettysburg a couple months ago, and I was in the motorcade with Governor Pence and his daughter, and I had Secret Service agents in my van and press, international press, and all around and everything. The Secret Service agent, he was out of Kentucky. He said to me, he said, Pastor Jim, he said, right now we're trying to decide who to vote for. And he said, my children are asking me questions about this Donald Trump guy and some of the things they hear he said in the past and what he's done, everything. And he said, how do I answer my kids? And I gave him 1 Samuel 16:7. I said, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I said, why is he doing this? Look at his heart. What's his heart saying to you? Why is he even in this race? Why does he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need notoriety, fame. Why is he in here? Look at his heart. Look at people's heart. Why do people do what they do? What's the real reason behind everything? I think it's 1 Timothy. It talks about the hidden man of the heart, the real you. The real you is not what people see on the outside. The real you is what's inside of you. The hidden man of the heart. Let's go to Romans 8 for a minute before we go back to Philippians. Go to Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Those that are in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? You get in Christ Jesus when you're born again. Romans 6:3 says you're baptized into his death at the cross at Calvary. When you accept the atonement work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, Jesus Christ, him crucified, his shed blood at Calvary, at that point, when you accept that and say, I accept Jesus Christ into my heart, into my life, at that point, spiritually, you're baptized, it says, Romans 6:3, into the cross with him. And then when he descends, you're in him. And so you go down with him. And when he's resurrected, that's where the newness of life. How many here has ever been water baptized? Well, that's what we're talking about, all right? You're in Christ, down, rose again, walking in newness of life. That's how you get in Christ. But what happens is people are in and out of Christ. I call it bipolar Christianity. Yeah, they're in and out of Christ. One day they're in, one day they're out. You know, and it's like, that's all. And they're up and down. Listen, you ever have the devil lie to you and you thought, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. Come on now. Come on now. The devil is a liar. And he will come at you because you're not staying in Christ. Therefore, now there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But when we come out of Christ, then the guilt and the condemnation come. And the enemy sees that. This is why it's so important to stay in Christ, to stay in fellowship, to stay in church, to stay in the Word, to stay in prayer. It's so important. If not, you're going to be out of Christ, and all of a sudden, you're going to think you're all this and all that, and you ain't nothing but a piece of dirt without God. And people get all high and mighty. That's why we've seen leaders over the years fall, because they get to a point where God blesses them and they think they're all this and they're all that. Let me tell you something. Doris and I just celebrated 25 years of marriage. Let me tell you the secret to stay married for 25 years. What's hers is hers, what's mine is hers. I love her more than anything else, except God. And it doesn't matter. Husbands will relate to this. Can I get an amen from the husbands? Let me know you're here. If you're married, say amen. All right? I can't tell you how many times I've asked her to forgive me. It wasn't my fault. Come on. Come on. Come on, husbands. Nod your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right? And why do we do that? Because we love them. Because we love them. And it really doesn't matter who's right. Jack taught me this. He said, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? He taught me that in his counseling. Sat down with a couple, and the husband would go, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. He says, you want to be right or you want to be happy? Pick one. You don't get both in marriage. Pick one. And you know what? That's true. Love covers a multitude of sins. Okay? And so, true, the love of God. We really don't know how to love our spouses. We don't know how to love anybody until we understand and receive. Watch this. Receive the love of God for ourselves. You know, it took me 2 years to receive the love of God after I was saved. 2 years. I accepted Lord Jesus Christ. I got radically saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost 2 months later. But it took me 2 years, okay, of reading that word, talking to God, a relationship with God, to receive the love of God. And you can't give something you don't have. And you don't know and you don't understand. in that sense. And the longer you're married, the longer you'll find out. And as you grow in the Lord, this is why it's so important to stay plugged into God. And stay in His Word and walk in the love of God and understand that the love of God does so much for you. It says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So when we're pressing towards that high mark of that high calling in Christ Jesus, you have to be in Christ Jesus, and we're pressing towards that, it frees you up from the law, it frees you up from the flesh, it frees you up from your own willpower, your own abilities, and there's such a refreshing and rest that comes with that. When you understand that and begin to walk in that. If not, what you're doing is, like I said, you're just placing yourself back under law. You're putting yourself under bondage. Christ says, I delivered you. I delivered Israel to serve me. If you're not serving in the body of Christ somewhere, why not? Let me ask you, why not? I'm sure Pastor D and Pastor Shari they'll find something for you to do. Guarantee. There's no greater joy knowing that you've done something, okay, in the name of Christ. There's no greater joy than that. I understand that. But you have to leave those things which are behind, okay? Deal with whatever God is telling you to deal with in humility. In humility, let me tell you something. You get nothing without humility. God says, I oppose the proud. I give grace to the humble, but I oppose the proud. You know what that word oppose means? It's a military term. It means I set myself against you. All right? So you want God to move on your life? Walk in humility. You want God to move in your marriage like I just told you? Walk in humility. Let it go. Walk in humility. Let me tell you something. I love my wife dearly. People have told me that I worship the ground she walks on. They said, I can't believe everything that you do for her. I cook, I clean, I do shopping. You know, I'll take her coffee in bed. I'll take my finger, dip it in a coffee cup, rip it across her lips. She'll go. I'll do it the second time. And she gets a hold of the finger. I treat her like the queen she is. I treat her like the queen she is. There's times, though, she's a little she-wolf, though. Oh, who you talking about? How long you married now? Hey, Josh, can I get an amen, brother? Amen. I know. It don't take long, does it? It don't take long. We all have it in us. All right? But you know what? Love overrides all that. Back to Philippians 3. Can go with me back to Philippians 3 here. Verse 15. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if any in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if you're not walking the way you're supposed to be walking, the Holy Spirit is going to point that out to you. But the problem is, I don't know why I'm on the thing marriage, probably for a couple different reasons. But the problem is, God will use different people in our lives to point things out. All right? I went to a marriage ministry, Marriage Ministry International, 20 years ago, we used to go to these things just to improve our marriage. Not that we were having problems. We just wanted to go and learn some things. Okay? And I went to this one, and they had this thing, and it felt like men bashing, man. It's like, man, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. So when's it going to be the woman's fault? You know, when are you going to say, hey, she needs to do this? And it was just going on and on and on. But what he explained was, watch this, what he explained was this, that the woman is called, okay, to be our what? Our helpmeet. To help meet the Christ-likeness in our lives. And their job and responsibility is to point out the un-Christ-likeness. Yeah, ooh, that's what I said. Ooh, man. I was like, where's that in the Bible? Show me. Give me scripture to back that one up. You know? I was like, you know? And she's sitting there going like this. You know? Don't do that. You know? She's sitting there going like this. This was Saturday morning at lunchtime. I wasn't going back in. I said, we're going home. I had enough of this. I was like smoking. She says, oh, you go back in or we're done. I'm like, all right. So we go back in and didn't get any better. It didn't get any better. But that's part of their calling of God in their lives. The problem is, sometimes the ladies don't know how to point that out in the proper way. Okay? In that sense. And then they gave us another one. Ephesians 6:25. Go there for a minute. Huh? Yeah. Go to Ephesians 6:25. Let me just share this one here. Ends I'm on this. Huh? 5:25, is it? There you go. No? What is it? Love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Where are we at? There it is, 5:25. For it says, husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That word love in the Hebrew, in original Hebrew, is picture words. If you go back to the original Hebrew, there was pictures. And that word love there, okay, had three pictures to it. It had one, there was an eye, which means to reveal. And then a heart, love. And little insignia means father, like Abba Daddy. Husbands, reveal the love of the Father to your wives, even as Christ also revealed the love of the Father to the church. Oh, that's good. That nailed me. That nailed me. We are supposed to reveal the love of the Father to our wives. And the wives are supposed to be doing the same thing back to us. But it was men's day that day, or my day that day, in that sense. So that's what I'm talking about as we, this new year starts off with repentance to God, repentance to spouses. Listen, parents, you might have to repent to your kids. Kids repent to your parents, and vice versa, whatever. Take time to look at yourself this year, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. It doesn't matter what's going on with your spouse, your boss, or whatever. What matters is you. What matters is you. Where are you at with God? That's the bottom line, because you know what? One of these days, we're all going to die. And look, Doris isn't going to be standing with me in front of God, and I can say, well, God, I treated her like a queen. No, it's just going to be me and God. She's not going to be there. And I will have to answer. And she will have to answer how she loved and supported, and she's been my best supporter. The call of God in her life has been to support the call of God in my life. And she'll be the first one to tell you that. But this is what God is saying to us here, where Paul says, this one thing I do, forget which is behind. Forget, let go of 2016, church. Let go of all the things that you didn't do right and what went wrong and everything else. Look at it. Learn from it. Let go. Press towards that mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The high calling of being more Christ-like this year and doing what you need to do to move in that direction. And you can only do that if you're a believer. Now, let me give you my, let me see if I still have that note in here. Here's a definition of a believer I heard. To entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ for provision, performance, and care. That's what a true believer is. Someone that entrusts your whole spiritual well-being to the Lord Jesus Christ for provision, performance, and care. So that's what a true believer is. Are you truly trusting God? If you're not tithing, you're not truly trusting God. You're not a true believer. Doris and I even talked about that. There's times where things got tight, couldn't tie like we wanted to. We gave something, whatever, got convicted of it. Come on, we've all been there. Can I get an amen? But we purpose in our heart, no more. No more. We are going to do things to God if it hurts, if we have to sacrifice, no matter what it is. This year, this is totally in God, totally everything, laying everything else down. Get the flesh out of the way. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? I even said, Doris, I'd like you to go with me this morning. But if you don't want to, she said, well, I'm tired now. She just got over 3 weeks of being sick. She had ear things, this, that, and then all that chest stuff turned into a sinus infection, everything else. And she had to resign from her work. And her work said, they were trying to tell her she couldn't quit. I said, you can't quit. We need you for the next week. So she called me up. She was upset. So I went in and I said, come here. I told her boss, I said, brand new boss, a woman. I said, can we go in your office for a minute? I said, Friday will be my wife's last day. Let me explain to you why and what's going on. Well, she should have gave a 2-week notice. I said, you weren't here. Neither was the other boss. I said, we do things face-to-face. We don't believe email. You don't quit a job through an email. Can I get an amen? All right, over the phone, leave a note. No, you do things right and proper. And I said, we've been trying to do it right and proper, but I said, you weren't here, and yet you sent emails out for people, whatever. I said, I'm just telling you who we are, and explained it to her. My wife said to me, she said, she was very nice to me the rest of the day. That's what we do as husbands, right? We protect, we take care, but we do it in love. We do it in love. So let me ask you, what are you doing for 2017? Are you in a right place with God? If you're not, you need to get there as soon as possible. Because you know what? You might not be here next January 1st. This might be the year you go home to be with the Lord. All of us might be gone. We don't know what's going on. We have no idea the nuclear capabilities of countries, what they're doing, North Korea and all the other ones. I mean, the world is not a pretty place, church. But I know one thing. 3 Mile Island isn't far from here, but it goes up. I'm only going to burn once. I know where I'm going to go. Everybody has eternal life, but where are you going to spend it? Are you going to be in the smoking section or the non-smoking section? That's the bottom line. Where are you going to be? So are you going to walk in the Spirit? Are you going to forget those things which are behind and press on ahead? Because if you're not pressing on ahead, you're putting yourself back under law and back under bondage. And the whole idea of Christianity, jobs as pastors, are we supposed to be preaching the Word of God to help you become more freer, not place you back into bondage? Can I get an amen? We don't want to put laws on you. We don't ever want to tell you, you have to do this and you have to do this. And we might say, you should do this, you need to do this, but we're not here to place laws upon you. Christ is all about freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But there's disciplines that we need to be doing for ourselves individually, our support of the local church, and for worldwide, the body of Christ. And I expect to hear great things taking care of one of your own parishioners here in that sense. To the point, we had a lady in our neighborhood, worship leader at the Methodist church. Her house burnt down and everything. Her husband came home with the car, went in, put his car in the garage, went downstairs to play with his kids, came upstairs, the car was on fire, the garage. They got a neighbor to grab a chain, pull it out, lost the whole house, everything and all. And she ended up with the insurance company, placed her in a $600,000 home for a year. Yeah. Talk to your insurance company. Do you have insurance? All right, talk to them. They provide a place to live. A lot of insurances do that. And she ended up rebuilding the house. The week after her house burned down, the other car got totaled. So she ended up with 2 new cars and a new house and back and everything. And that's what God can do. That's what God can do. And listen, He's not a respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for another one. The difference is, it just might be, where are you at with God? Okay? God doesn't bless sin. He blesses a heart of obedience, and He's not looking for perfection. But He's looking for the posture of your heart. Is the posture of your heart right and say, God, hey, you know what? 2 Corinthians 13:5. I didn't treat my wife right. I had a little attitude with her. Let me repent to you. Let me go repent to her, and let's get it right. There's such a freedom in that. Or somebody you work with or whatever, you just let it go. My wife went through that working back in the world after 40 years of having her own business for a while and everything. She come home sometimes and she said, man, she said, I got to let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, I said, well, that's it. And just love on them. But then secretly they come to you. Hey, can you pray for me for this? Can you pray for me for that? You know, in that sense. So let's start off this year. Let's all stand. Let's start off this year. I tell you what, I hope it's all right with Pastor D. It might have been a very long time since you came to the altar of God. I want everyone to come up to the altar this morning. If you need help getting up, just come all around the altar. Everybody, out of your seat. It's a whole congregation up to the altar. Did you? Yeah. I really sense, you know, sometimes it's a long time before you're on your knees or you've been to the altar of God. But let me tell you something. When you come to the altar of God, what that is saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. And I want to start us off looking to Christ today. look into Christ and what he did at Calvary over 2,000 years. Our faith and our trust is in his finished work and his power. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. So let's bow our heads for a moment. Let's just get quiet before God. I don't need to know what's in your heart, what's in your life. God does. And I just want you to take a moment. And if there's anything in you that is of sin, you need to, within yourself, you don't have to talk out loud, just leave it here at the altar today. Ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you, and just leave it here at the altar of God where the blood of Jesus, it doesn't cover, it takes away, it washes away, throws it into the sea of forgetfulness from the east to the west. Just take a moment. If there's someone here that doesn't know the Lord, it's never made that confession of faith, don't leave here today without Pastor D or I or Pastor Sherry or somebody praying with you today. Just take a moment. We've lost the art of waiting before the Lord. And God is going to speak to you while you're here at the altar. God speaks the loudest in his still, small voice at the altar of God through a repentant heart. Father, I pray for every man, woman, and child within the sound of my voice. Father, I pray that you will draw them closer to you this year, starting with right now, this moment. I pray that you keep that hedge of protection as you did in Job 1:10 around them, and that they would stay in Christ from this moment forward. They would never again get out of Christ, no matter what the enemy says, no matter what people says. And Father, that you would instill in them a fresh new desire and a hunger for the Word of God, a hunger for that relationship to know you, Lord, a hunger for fellowship, a hunger for the things of God. And Father, I pray that you'll bring about a purity and a holiness in their lives this year, a no-nonsense purity and holiness, honoring you in all things in all areas. And Father, that you'll bring them into the area of servanthood, that you would have them, Lord God, Father. And Father, if they need any healing right now, that you would just touch them. You don't need any man to touch them, Lord God. You can touch them right now with your Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to your church right now. Is anybody hearing anything from the Lord? I want you to speak it out. Anybody hearing anything? What is God saying to you? Father, I pray yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you. We commit to know you deeper. We forget those things of last year, 2016, and we say this year we commit to you, to know, to hunger, to serve, and to love you in a greater way. And we are thrilled, excited, exceedingly excited about 2017. Amen. Amen. The Lord had spoken to me to come and lay hands on Pastor Jim. Now, first, before we do that, when he told me, and actually, you've been prepping me for about a year, so it was no surprise, but then I was mad at him. And I walked right by him. We were at a meeting, and I said, I don't want to talk to you. You're leaving. I was just, that's the baby I can be. But I know that Jim and Doris are being led by the Lord. And, all right, you can go. But I'd like us to pray for him. Many of you know Jim and Doris. Some of you, just come on up anyway, and we're just going to pray great things upon them. All right, take two giant steps forward. Come on around him. Put your hand on. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the life. We thank you for the new life and what you've done in Jim. You have shown how great and how marvelous is your love, that you would wash this man who really made some big mess ups, and you would show us and demonstrate what your love is, that you give second chances. And Father, as Jim and Doris are departing down south, we rejoice. We thank you, Father, that there's new places. I thank you for the gifts will just be intensified, Father, and they'll be a blessing to many others. And I thank you, Father, for new connections, new friends. Father, they lack nothing. And we declare an abundance in every area of their life, in their bodies, in their finances, in their friendship and relationships. We say an abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to? Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah.